Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Winder, and thanks for tuning in to another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. And as always, I have a question for you. Did rock music get it right? I mean, is there a highway to hell? Is there a stairway to heaven? In today's post, we look closer at the teaching about the two gates that lead to two roads. This image is tattooed in the psyche of our minds as a single decision point on whether to go up or go down. But is that really what it's saying? Join me now as we continue our study in the Sermon on the Mount, and we see beyond the threat and discover that the difficult path enables us to discover that we are not just an animal, but a spiritual being. Hello, everybody, and thanks so much for coming back to yet another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. I am so glad to have you here. My name is Kevin Winder, and I am your host. I like to serve the world as an online pastor, author, and uncoach, among many other things that I do, just like you. And I'm so glad to have you with me. Welcome once again. Thank you so much for telling your friends, your family members about this podcast. I'm always humbled and honored when anybody tunes in and gives any portion of their time to listening to this. And I know that some of you tell me, gosh, I don't listen every week, but I do catch a few of them. And man, I really, really appreciate that. I hope when you come back each time that you find that these podcasts are interesting and engaging, they cause you to think. And I hope that you're thinking about other people who could benefit from this content and who you might want to share it with. My goal is that I can say something that stirs you into a deep, meaningful conversation. And if you have one of those, life just gets better. Folks, if you're not tuned in and haven't been tuning in for a little while, we are in the midst of a series. And I know that series have a tendency to kind of wear people out over time. Because you tune in one week, you miss another week, and then sometimes you feel lost and you're like, what is going on? But each one of these series installments is, while they are all connected, you can certainly hear any one of them on their own. But we're probably week 15 or 16 into the Sermon on the Mount, and we get today to this portion called The Gates. This is podcast number 207, and it's called The Gates. Now, like I said in my intro, I wondered if rock music got it right. Did AC/DC get it right when they talked about a highway to hell? Did Led Zeppelin get it right when they talked about a stairway to heaven? See, the idioms of the Bible and the images of Dante's Inferno and Hollywood are so profoundly ingrained, I used the word tattooed, within our psyche that people really struggle with the idea here of eternal torture and this image of hell, right? And in today's portion of the Sermon on the Mount, we're going to examine the metaphor of the wide and narrow gates. And my question is Jesus making a claim that the vast majority of humanity is on a highway to hell? Or is there something beyond this kind of binary that can liberate us? And so I want to point your attention to the passage. It's Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. It's a very short couple of sentences, and it goes like this. Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. So what is Jesus saying here? Well, it didn't sound like he was talking specifically about hell, and I don't think he necessarily is. It doesn't mean that he's not inferring it in some way or another, but this is not a passage about hell. This is not a proof text for the heaven and hell binary. But he is getting at something here. And what I'd like you to do is think about this verse. If you're reading it in the post, read this post a few times contemplatively, right? Think about it. What is he saying? Well, this is one of those where I think knowing the original language really helps. Well, knowing the Greek texts is really helpful. You see, the Greek moods here are imperative and nominative. Now, most of Scripture is in the indicative mood, but I point this out because these are imperative and nominative. It's saying something different. So a little schooling here is that this means that Jesus is not describing what is, but telling us what to do and pointing us in a specific direction. You see, indicative passages are descriptions. Imperative, nominative moods are prescriptions. You see, all good scholarship knows the difference and teaches them accordingly. And so many Bible verses get really messed up. And we get these really strange ideas and theologies and belief systems because there's just a lot of confusion. And the confusion comes from well-meaning but misinformed pastors and Bible teachers who teach texts that are imperative as though they're indicative, or indicative as though they were imperative. And what do I mean by that? Well, when Jesus is describing something, he's simply saying this is what it's like. He's not telling you what to do. But so often we hear sermons where they are using a description and that becomes your prescription. Well, this is the opposite. This is a case where it's a prescription. He's telling us what to do, giving us direct advice. But he's not describing anything. See, this is an interesting case where the Greek kind of opens something up here. So since this is a prescription, I think we would do well to pay attention. You see, Jesus is using the binary as is customary when trying to elevate the consciousness or the awareness of people who are not very awake or mature. So if you can imagine his audience, it's very diverse, very poor, very marginalized, and many of them are just kind of not sure about stuff. And so, like our modern world, a lot of people just aren't very awake. In fact, that seems to be the very subject of this passage. And so it's kind of like when you're teaching a toddler. It's not wise to give toddlers tons of options. You simply give them a binary. You teach them the danger of the hot stove, because the child need only be aware of the stove's danger until he or she is old enough to properly wield the fire in order to prepare a meal, right? It's not until later that it's not an either or. It's danger, or it's a no touch or a touch. It becomes either something that can burn you or it can be something that prepares a meal. You have to have maturity to get it, right? To get beyond the binary. And that's the same kind of idea. Jesus wants to jolt us awake and use this approach. It is not a statement saying that life can be just reduced into a simple either-or decision. You see, transactional religion has really latched on to verses like this, and they really prefer to operate on this low level. But you see, the greater context of Jesus' sermon proves that he is inviting us beyond that. So when I say greater context, I'm saying the verses that surround this verse and that surround this chapter and that surround the whole sermon, the context, the greater context tells us, as we've learned over the last, 2 months or whatever, is that, Jesus' sermon proves he is inviting us well beyond a binary, right? He's inviting us into something bigger. But when he uses it, it's for punctuation, it's for emphasis, okay? And so the word, the wide, the eurozeros, gate, the wide gate opens to a wide road, which is like that of a multi-lane highway. I mean, it's meaning it's very broad, it's very wide, right? And I use the term highway because you have this word molus, right? Which basically tells us that there's a lot of capacity, right? It can accommodate many. It's like rush hour. the much, the great quantities, go through this gate and enter this passageway, this lifestyle. See, the way. So it's like you have the gate that leads to the way. And the way can be a road, it can be a path, it can be, you know, like I say, a super highway, but it's really kind of this lifestyle, this way of living is what he's getting at, okay? Anyway, this destination of this gate that opens to the wide road that has, you know, a traffic jam of people cruising down this highway, the many are on it, is the destination is I can get my Greek pronunciation so messed up. Sorry about that. It's Apoleia. Apoleia. Okay? That word is used in Scripture in many places. And its description is for destruction or a waste. Like, it's a total waste. It's destruction. It's loss. Right? And this term is used in the New Testament to refer to the end result of for those objects of wrath, the Bible. That's a term the Bible uses. And so the objects of wrath will end in apoleia, right? And so this is why people say Jesus is talking about hell. And it also means to waste or to smash or to break, right? The destination is to be broken. The destination is to be smashed. It's to waste your life, right? Being on this road is a waste. So it's really important, though, that it becomes clear in our heads that Jesus is not specifically referencing hell here, as I really don't think that's where he's going with this term, destruction or waste. You know, hell emerges because we import into this passage, and not without consequence. I mean, I get how we get there. I do. But I really think we put more into this than is actually in this particular text. I'm not diminishing that the overall idea may be in Scripture. What I'm saying is that it's not necessarily being taught here. Okay? What Jesus is emphasizing is not the destination here, but the gate. The emphasis is on the gate. See, it's like he's saying, we all go through the wide gate. You know, we go through this first before we get to the narrow gate. Don't stay on the wide road. Find the narrow exit ramp. Find the way of life that is narrow, right? The wide open gate is in the aorist active voice. That's another Greek term that way, it's another way of organizing the Greek language so that we understand something about its tense. Okay, so when it's in the aorist active, it means it's the present and ongoing present state. So this gate is open and it's always open. It's going to always remain open. So the wide gate is this open, ongoing, presently active, ongoingly active state of openness. And so what I think Jesus is doing is he's giving us a caution to avoid the constantly open gate because it doesn't shut. See, the many, the polus, refers to the default mode of all of us. There's so many scriptures where this term, the many, the polus, is referring to everybody, right? Like it says, the many sinned. Well, we already know it's not like certain people sinned and certain people didn't. The many who sinned, that's everybody, okay? And so there's this idea that, like, everybody, the default mode is everybody is going through this wide gate where we're just like sheep hurtling down, like following the masses, right? So a better way to understand destruction as it's used in this passage is really based on the surrounding context, which is to just blindly follow the trends of the masses and adopt their mindset, their principles, and the institutions which rename us, cause us to miss life, to miss finding our true self in God, right? So when we, as we have looked up until this point, and as we'll look in the couple of coming passages, this false self is vital, right? This wasted life is this this living in the upokrito, under a mask, right? The false life, the false self. And Jesus uses hypocrite so many times in the previous passages. So following this false self is a wasted or destroyed life. You jump into life, you're in this herd, you're going down this highway, and if you don't get off the highway, you don't find the narrow gate, the exit, then it's a wasted life. You don't know your true name. To not know your true name is the destruction. It's the wastedness of the truth, right? This is where I think the language and the text and the context is all kind of getting us to. And so the contrasting perspective is that of the narrow gate, the stenos, right? Narrow, restricted, the odos, the road, the path, the journey, the way of life, which is the same word that we saw for the wide road and the wide way, the wide path, the wide journey, the wide way of life. The narrow road, right? The stenos road is what they say is thlebo. The word thlebo means constricted. It's crowding against you. It causes trouble, right? This is this idea of like it's narrow. You have to squeeze through this passage. You're not going down it as a super multi-lane highway with people on the right and on the left. This is definitely a single file event, right? It's a turnstile type thing. And the destination here is Zoe. Right? This is life. Now, this is life. There's a couple words for life in Greek, and the other one is bios, which kind of refers to your natural body, your living being, your animal creatureliness. And Zoe kind of is pointing to your spiritual life. It's often used as a short version of eternal life, but the term eternal life obviously has other words associated with it, but it's not uncommon to see that word Zoe to refer to as eternal or spiritual life. So what he's saying is this is not a base organic being alive, but the other kind of life, often termed eternal or spiritual, like I said. And I think Jesus is saying that the path to finding your true life is like a turnstile. You can't bring anything with you. There's no backpack. You can't have an attachment. You have to kind of strip down and through it naked almost as you go. You have to be stripped by all that crowds against you. It's arduous. It's difficult. It's like squeezing through a crevice in a rock, perhaps. The difficult process is how we gain our real life, how we discover our spiritual reality. So what Jesus is doing by creating this binary is admonishing us with this life vest. It's a saving piece of wisdom if we're distracted or confused or have chaos in our life. I mean, how many people do you know that are just going through life? They're going through the motions and they think they know what they're doing and it's not working out. Maybe you've got to the point where you've tried so many things that didn't work out. And you're asking why does everything suck? Why is my life falling apart? Why do my relationships break? Why all this stuff? You see, it's too easy to coast in life. You know, to seek ease, to find comfort, or just to only be about your immediate gratification. And if you live that way, you will forfeit something of the Zoe, the life that is ultimately worth waiting for. You see, we can all crowd at the wide gate and fight for a spot on the express lane, or we can go single file one after another and turn something that isn't a waste in the end, right? You can find a life that is not a waste. You're not going to waste your life. I think this is the trajectory of his words. This principle is true even in the most mundane of things. I'll give you an example. How about eating lunch? You're hungry. It's lunchtime. You know you need to eat something healthy, but you don't. Why not? You know, a healthy lunch comes with more constriction, more thlebo. it comes at a cost. It certainly costs more if you go to Whole Foods and get a salad. It takes more time to make. It takes more time to eat. It's not generally full of the fat and carbs and all this stuff that really satisfies our impulse and our appetites and all that. A good healthy salad is different, right? I mean, the meals that make us full of disease come in minutes. You can just whip through the drive-thru and get all kinds of poison. They cost you a buck. But if you really want something that's going to produce real life, a meal that's going to truly build and repair and make your body healthy, it's going to come at a cost. It's going to come at some thleebo. It's also true for your relationships. You think you're going to have a great relationship without some constriction? What about parenting? You think that's going to come with any cost to you? See, it's true for our career. It's true in everything. So this message is validating itself. This isn't so much about heaven and hell, unless it's opening up a new way of understanding heaven and hell. No, maybe he's not talking about Dante's Inferno here. Maybe he's talking about you're living a living hell and you can get out by turning through the narrow gate. You see, if we want our life to count, then we have to count the cost and not cut corners. We have to pay that price, undergo the constriction process, be pressed and pulled until that which is worthy in us emerges from that animal, right? We all start in bios on the wide road, but Jesus is inviting us, telling us, directing us, pointing us, go towards Zoe. Isn't that amazing? So rather than describe a culturally contrived hell, Jesus is directing us to pay attention to this other dimension of life. This is Zoe. We have to get beyond our mere base human existence with its appetites and impulses. We simply follow our appetites and it's a disaster. You know that to be true. Your appetite is not a good gauge for your life. Yes, all you want is mac and cheese and ice cream. Not a good gauge for healthy living. None of your appetites are good gauges, right? If you just follow them, just like me, we will follow the herd, get distracted, and ultimately lose our way. This is the path to destruction. The only way to avoid this is the narrow gate. We find this to be the solitary single-file constricting process. The difficult path is to rise above base existence and pursue real life through spiritual awakening. Like the wide gate, the narrow gate is open, and it calls to each of us every single day. But in Luke 13:24, which is a parallel passage, Jesus gives similar advice. He says, "Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able to." Now, Jesus is revealing a very sobering reality that the finders of the narrow gate are few. Or as in the verse in Luke, they want to enter, but they are not able to. Now, in a couple of weeks, we're going to explain this further as we read one of Jesus' most severe and even frightening passages in Matthew 7:21. But for now, he seems to be saying that finding Zoe, finding true life, spiritual life, is something that only a few people are able to do. And whether that's based on skill or will, I don't know. It doesn't really say, but it's very telling that the masses on the superhighway seem to miss it. Only a few find this. And that seems to be in agreement with my observations in life. So what this is saying is, what I'm always saying, is that so many of us skim over the depth of our life. We miss it. We are under anesthesia. We are sleeping. We are not awake. Most of us miss this. You see, it's the difficult path. It's where we find suffering. It's the painful, arduous journey that opens us up to the reality that we don't have spiritual lives, but that we are spiritual lives. We're not just a carnal beast, right? This carnal, fleshly, anesthetized, inoculated masses don't seem to discover this spiritual, awakened, the beauty and the wisdom and the joy of a constricted, tight, pressed in around you kind of life. You see, like a diamond, the rarity makes this a true treasure. And so I guess the question really is are we willing to let go of our attachments? Are we willing to go it alone, to kind of break free from our herd and be astray, to walk off from the crowd, go a different direction, not go with the flow in this case? Can we break free of institutions that imprison us? Are we content with our bios, or do we truly seek Zoe? Are we an animal or are we human? Is this about being alive or is it to really live? You see, can you live or can you thrive? Will we do the soul work of becoming meek? Remember, this is all pointing back to the Beatitude. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So folks, if you're willing to do the work, if you're willing to go through the turnstile and shed your attachments and just be and face the arduous path, the pain, the suffering, and the development of your Zoe, your spiritual life. If you do that, true life awaits. If not, it seems to be indicating that this true life will be wasted. And may that not be the case for you.